tonight is a very interesting subject. I'm going to talk about Harry Potter and about witchcraft and about the Bible and about Jesus Christ and his cross. It's certainly a big topic. It's an extremely big topic. And I'll tell you in a little bit why I've chosen to talk about this tonight. There is a reason. And let me just ask you for a few hands, how many of you know the reason without me even saying what the reason is? Okay, look at all those hands. All right. If there are some Harry Potter fans out there, don't feel like I'm, you know, attacking you. Just hear me out. I've got a lot to say. We're going to be discussing this because it's a big, big subject. Here's the front cover of the Life section of Tuesday's USA Today newspaper, and articles like this have been duplicated all week. It's just probably one of the number one stories of the time right now. And here's the cover story. Here's a whole globe. And the title here is, How Has Harry Potter Cast Such a Wide Spell Over the Entire World? Why are so many people, young and old, reading these books? Is there a menace beneath the magic? I know this slide is a little bit angled, but it still works. So we're going to talk about this, and I'm going to tell you also, I'm going to talk about Jesus Christ and his power and his love, because he really is what it's all about. So let's open our Bibles. If you have a Bible, let's open up to Deuteronomy chapter 18. This is definitely not going to be a sermon you have heard before. It's going to be a lot of things that I'm going to be sharing with you that are things that you've never heard. I know that because there are, a lot of them are personal experiences, things that have happened to me, things that I've been going through just in the last week, week and a half, 2 weeks. Deuteronomy chapter 18. We're going to be reading verses 9 through 15, and then we'll have a prayer. Just move this microphone a little bit out of the way here. Slide on down there. Okay, Deuteronomy chapter 18. Verses 9 to 15, and then we'll pray. This is God talking to the children of Israel before they entered the promised land. When you have come into the land which the Lord your God is giving to you, you shall not, what's that next word? Learn, I'm reading from the King James Bible, you shall not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. You shall not make, there shall not be found among you anyone that makes his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that uses divination, or is an observer of times, or an enchanter, or what else? Or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer, for all that do these things are an abomination to the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord your God doth drive them out from before you. You shall be perfect with the Lord your God. For these nations which you shall possess, they hearken, or they listen to observers of times and to diviners. But as for you, the Lord your God has not suffered you to do so. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet from the midst of you, of your brethren, like unto me, and to him shall you hearken or listen to. At the end of all these occult practices, God talks about the prophet who represents who? Jesus Christ. So God lifts up Jesus as the alternative to all of these practices. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, Father, this is a very unusual night. And the sun is going down. And it's a special time for us to be here, to read the Bible, to hear your word. I'm thankful that I'm here. And I just pray for this group. I pray for those that will listen to this message on CD or wherever it happens to be heard. I pray that you'll help me as I speak and as I share and as I talk about a lot of different things. Lord, please bless this meeting. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, well, here we go. The reason why I picked tonight to talk about this subject, and most of you know why, is because at 12:01 a.m., just a few hours from now, technically it'll be July 21, the seventh and final Harry Potter book will be released. And I venture to say that there are people standing in line right now. And this is, you know, we're in California, so this is Pacific time. I was reading an article earlier today on the internet that said that this is being duplicated from New York to London to Tel Aviv to Mexico City, South America, all over the world. All over the world, people are waiting for the final Harry Potter book. Book number 7 in a 7-part series. 7 books, 7 movies. Warner Brothers has committed to making a movie based upon every book, and these are high-budget films. So far, approximately 325 million copies of these books have been sold. They have been translated into 65 languages. As I mentioned there, it says on the screen, 12 million copies of the last book, Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows. That's the book that comes out tonight at midnight. 12 million copies of a hardcover book. That is the largest print run of any hardcover book in history. The Harry Potter books have broken all publishing records. They have gone to the top of the charts consistently. The author, Joanne Kathleen Rowling, is now richer than the Queen of England. I think she's number 2 in the world. There's only one woman who's richer than she is. Anybody know who that is? It's Oprah, that's right. Oprah has still topped Mrs. Rowling. Because the last book comes out tonight, this is really global news. I mean, every major news network is talking about this. The 5th movie just came out about a week ago on the 11th of July. The movies are behind the book. So this month, they're calling this Harry Potter month. They're calling it Magical Month because you've got a double whammy with the 5th film and the last book coming 10 days apart. What we're talking about when we talk about Harry Potter is, in a nutshell, we are talking about, not a minor matter, but we are talking about the number one story of this generation. The most popular story, really, practically, of all time. At least as far as books go. And these books are also classified as children's literature. So you've got books written for kids that are being read all over the world by young and old. And I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but it would be unusual to speak to an audience of this size and to have nobody out there that has been reading the books book by book by book. I find this to be true just about everywhere I go. Now, I've written a book myself, and I'm certainly not expecting to sell as many copies as Mrs. Rowling, but I've done a lot of research on this. Here's a picture of the cover. It's called Exposing Harry Potter and Witchcraft, The Menace Beneath the Magic. And we have created a website for this particular project, and if you can see it there on the screen, it's avoidharrypotter.com. So it's pretty easy to tell where we stand by that website. The Lord has led me into a very interesting form of ministry. For the last few years, it's been growing, and this past 2 weeks, it's really reached just about an apex, a climax, and that is God has opened up doors for me to get on to talk radio shows and to discuss this topic and many other topics. And because Harry Potter is so big, and because the media is just buzzing with interest in this subject all around the world, we put this website together. We sent out a press release through an organization called Christian Newswire that went out over the wires. And about 2 weeks ago, our ministry, Whitehorse Media, purchased for about $400 a database of the top radio shows throughout the United States that have at least 100,000 listeners or more. And some of them are in the millions. And we have been targeting these different talk show hosts and the producers and the news directors of these different radio channels and networks, and we've gotten a pretty big response. I don't have it with me, but I've got a schedule that I've been following and writing in almost daily, and I would say by the end of June and on into July and coming up within the next week, when you total them all up, there's something like 30 or more interviews on a lot of different shows. And some of them have been really, really big shows. I don't know if any of you have ever listened to the Inga Barks show. Do any of you hear Inga Barks? I believe you can probably hear her up here. Not too many. She's big in Central California. Her show goes all the way down to LA. You can hear it in San Francisco, KMJ 580 AM. It's a big show. I listen to it sometimes when I'm driving home in my area. She's on from 6 to 8 in the evening, and when I'm getting home a little bit late, I'll turn on the radio and I'll listen to Inga Barks. And some time ago, I sent her an email, and I asked her and talked to her and just gave a few ideas as to why I would love to be a guest on her program. And I was thrilled about 2 days later when my cell phone rang, and it was her producer. And she said, this lady said, Inga got your email, and we'd love to have you on. And it was a tremendous interview. We were on for about an hour. I think it was two Tuesday nights ago. And we had quite a discussion, an amazing discussion. People were calling in, asking questions, taking different views, and it went really well. And the next day, we got at our ministry headquarters, we received an email from a news anchor at Channel 47 in Fresno. And he was trying to get a hold of me. He heard the interview, and he wanted me to come to their station and to record about a 15-minute slot, a segment, that they were then going to air on the nightly news. And that actually happened last Sunday night. They put together about a 2.5-minute program, and somebody told me they watched it, and the Lord really blessed it. I don't know how many of you have ever heard of Armstrong and Getty. Anybody heard of that show? Well, they contacted me about a week ago and said that they want me on their program, which will happen this coming Tuesday. I think it's at 8:04 in the morning, July 24. We'll be on for about 10 minutes, and it'll be live. And that's a pretty big show. This morning, actually yesterday, I was on 4 different interviews. One of them was for about an hour, and there were about probably 12 callers that called in. And talk radio, I'm just curious, how many of you listen to talk radio? Maybe I should see a few hands. Okay, wow, lots of people. Talk radio is a wild and fast and furious world. And I mean, the questions just come, and the hosts talk fast, and I pray, Lord, please give me the right words to say, and then I just go. And I don't have to travel anywhere to do it. We're staying just right around the corner. The Cornwells have, the caretaker of the grounds have kindly offered us their home for us to stay in their guest room, and they have a separate phone line that they've actually put in for the purpose of interviews. And yesterday and this morning, I was up at about 5:15 or 5:30, and then the phone rang, and I go into this little room by myself when my wife and son and the others are sleeping in the house, and I'm just in there talking on the phone, and we're live on the air. Yesterday, I had 4 interviews. This morning, at about 5:30, I had a short interview, and then at somewhere around 6:30 or something, my cell phone rang, and I ran into the living room and grabbed the phone and just didn't quite catch it. I missed the call. And there was no message on there, but I thought, who's going to be calling me at 6:30 in the morning? It's got to be another producer. And so I called the number back on my cell phone, and it just rang and rang and rang. And then I called again, and it rang and rang and rang. And finally, the third time, I got through, and I was just stunned to discover who I was talking to on the other end. It was the producer of the Montel Williams Show. Have you ever heard of Montel Williams? He's a big talk show host. Well, they saw our press release or website somewhere, and the producer called and said, we want you for our program. This is for radio, not for TV. He has a radio show as well. And so they have booked me for this Tuesday at 6 o'clock in the morning Pacific time. I don't know exactly where they are. I think they're in the central time zone in Kentucky, I think it was, he said. But anyway, so that's another show. So say a prayer for me. I'm on a lot of shows right now. We're talking about this because the media is interested in it. It's just a real opportunity to talk to our world about things that are important. And ultimately, my goal is step by step by step to lead people over to the Bible. And on avoidharrypotter.com, we've got a picture of the book. We've got another little book there on spiritualism. We have a link to our main website, whitehorsemedia.com, which is just full of information. People can watch TV programs on there. They can read a lot of articles. And we are trying, by the grace of God, to get out into the world and to talk to people right where they are, in their cars, in their homes, as they're driving to work or wherever they are, and to discuss this topic. Now, let me just, for those of you that are not that familiar, let me just give you a quick summary of the storyline of Harry Potter. And as I mentioned, this is the number one story of this generation. I mean, there's very few young people out there that are not reading Harry Potter. Now, maybe your kids aren't, but there's a lot of kids that are. And a lot of kids that aren't are feeling pressure from those that are. I don't know if you're aware of that or not, but there's a conflict going on about this topic. Well, anyway, here's a quick overview. It is a tale of witches, wizards, and that word muggles. How many of you have heard the muggle term before? I'm just curious. Okay, about a third of you, the muggles. In the Potter series, basically what the author does, it's a fantasy tale, it's a story, it's a fiction story. It's a tale of wizards and witches, and the world is divided between the witchcraft world, which is presented as a pretty cool and exciting world, and then there's the larger, non-magical world, which is called the muggle world. Everybody that's not a wizard or a witch, everybody that doesn't have magical abilities is a muggle. So sometimes when I go on the air, one of the first things I say to the host, and a lot of these shows, as you know, as I mentioned, Montel Williams, etc., some of these shows are Christian shows, but a lot of them aren't. And most of my listeners are familiar with the topic, so I will sometimes say, in Harry Potter language, I am a muggle. I am not someone that has magical abilities. I don't cast spells. I'm just not a part of that at all. And they know exactly what I'm talking about. So you've got the non-magic world and the witchcraft world. Harry Potter is a boy, starts out when he's just a baby, and then it works its way up into the first book. Book by book leads to the other books. He's an orphan boy, which many kids can identify with. He goes through a lot of things that many kids can identify with. And when he's 11 years old, he discovers that he's really a wizard. He didn't know he was a wizard. And then he enrolls in a school called Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry. And at the age of 11, he goes to school, and then he goes home for the summer. At the age of 12, he goes back to school, then he goes home for the summer. At the age of 13, and this is what happened book by book by book. So in book one, he's 11. In book two, he's 12. In book three, he's 13. And it works its way all the way up until he's, I believe it's 18, in the final book, and he has been going to this school in every book, taking classes like divination and potions and spells, and the whole storyline revolves around the fact that there is an evil wizard out there, that his name is Voldemort, the evil Lord Voldemort, and the storyline has to do with Harry, who's a good guy, he's the good wizard, against the bad guy, against Voldemort. And that's what the whole thing is all about. The muggles are all the non-magical people. The struggle goes on within the witchcraft world between the good wizards and the bad wizards. Now, the controversy concerning Harry Potter, and this picture here actually shows the young actors and the actress that play Harry. He's in the middle, Daniel Radcliffe, who's the boy, the British boy who plays Harry Potter, and his two friends, Ron Weasley. This is the story name, and Hermione. And they're all friends, they're all teenagers, and these are the kids that play the roles of within the books, and they are famous all over the world. They're extremely wealthy right now, and you know they're nice kids, and they're casted in these roles. So that's why I put that up. You've got them, there's the movie, the people in the movie. Well, anyway, the controversy over Harry Potter, and it is a controversy, it's a big one, is are these books and are these movies simply just fun, innocent, harmless entertainment for kids, which is what a lot of people think. And then on the other side, there are other people that think, no, there's something going on here. There's something behind the scenes. There is what we could call a menace beneath the magic. And that's the struggle. That's the controversy. And every show that I'm on, it's amazing to me that the opinions are all across the board. And I imagine it would be the same here if we took a poll. Some of the hosts that I'm on with think there's not very many of them, but there's a few of them that think I'm just a nut. I'm a big muggle nut. And then there are others that are so supportive, it's just amazing. Yesterday when I was on a show called Truth Talk Live, you can find their website, truthtalklive.com. It was a Christian show. It's on across the country. A lot of callers called in, and the majority of them stood by me. And one of them was a pastor, and he just came on really strong from, I don't know what church he's from, but he was just right behind me all the way. One of the hosts that I remember, I don't know if you've ever heard of Billy Cunningham, the Billy Cunningham Show in Cincinnati. It's a big show, WLW, and this man is very, very bold, and I've been on with him about three different times covering different topics, everything from Armageddon to Israel, all kinds of subjects, and he just backed me all the way and said, parents, listen up, check out avoidharrypotter.com, and be enlightened. I mean, he was just right with me. So anyway, the controversy basically is this. On the pro-Potter side, and again, if you're a Harry Potter fan, I'm not, you know, just hear me out. I'm not against you. I'm not against your kids. You know, I'm just dealing with what I see as very important subjects. I talked about this at SoCal Camp Meeting about 2 years ago, and there was a woman that came up to me afterwards, and she was one of the division leaders for the young people. And she said she heard I was going to talk about Harry Potter. She loves Harry Potter, and she came to the meeting just to hear what I had to say. And when it was all over, she came up to me, and she shook my hand at the end, and she said, as I listened to you, as you went through your reasons, she said, the lights went on, and now I understand where you're coming from, and I'm really thinking twice about this subject. Well, anyway, on the pro-Potter side, these are the main arguments that are being used. Number one, people say, it's just a story. That's all it is. This is just a fantasy tale. It's just a story. Why are you concerned about a story? That's argument number one. Argument number two, on the pro-Potter side, is that kids are reading books. They say, hey, you know, my son or my daughter has turned off the TV and they are reading 500, 600, 700, 800 page books. The Harry Potter books are not small. And so this is argument number two. They're saying, hey, you know, aren't you in favor of reading? Kids are reading, so lighten up. And then the third major argument that's being used is that the Harry Potter books teach positive lessons to kids, especially about the battle between good versus evil. That's what they say, which as I think about that, I think, you know, that sounds a little bit inconsistent because on the one hand, they say it's just a story, but then on the other hand, they say that it's teaching positive lessons to kids. And putting both of those together shows that at least they realize that stories do teach lessons for kids, don't they? Stories do teach lessons. So anyway, those are the positive arguments that are being given. Now, there are, even within the Christian church right now, there are many Christian authors that are coming out in favor of Harry Potter, and they use those arguments and other arguments. Here's one of them. John Granger is probably one of the biggest. He wrote a book called Looking for God in Harry Potter. And on Walmart.com, it says that Harry Potter is this is what the book says, it's a roadmap for using the Harry Potter books to teach children Christian truth. Just a sideline, this isn't in my notes, but I was speaking at a camp meeting a couple years ago when one of the books came out and we did a little press release and I was trying to get interviews. And one night after a meeting like this, I checked my email and there was an email from a producer of a show in New Jersey. It was like a midnight show and they said they had John Granger on. And they were wanting me to come on the program and debate him to talk about Harry Potter. And when I got that email, I did the math and I figured, okay, if this is a midnight show and it was about 9 o'clock California time where I was, and so I called them immediately, and somehow John got disconnected and they just had me. So I was on for quite a while giving my views and John wasn't there anymore. I just thought that was interesting. So anyway, he's one of the pro Potter authors, and here's another one, John Killinger. He's a minister, and his book called God, the Devil, and Harry Potter says that the Potter stories actually influence young readers to follow the teachings of Jesus. And the argument goes that Harry has a scar on his head. Maybe you saw that lightning bolt, and that's because the evil wizard tried to kill him, and the curse bounced back upon the evil wizard and left this scar in his head. And Jesus has a scar too. And, you know, he's got scars. And so they try to draw an analogy between Harry and Jesus. And this is what this is the position of this author. Now, there are other authors, and I'm not the only one, that are on the other side, such as Richard Abanas. Richard is probably one of the main ones on the forefront. His books have worked their way into Walmart. I've met him. We've emailed each other a couple of times. And his book, Harry Potter and the Bible, The Menace Behind the Magic, I've read that and learned quite a bit from Richard. And his take is, page 126 of his book, he says that J.K. Rowling's books, quote, desensitize children to the dangers of occultism. That's his take. Now, here's another one, and this author is even stronger than Richard, and that's Stephen Dollins. He has a book called Under the Spell of Harry Potter, and he says, to be very blunt, this is witchcraft in the form of a child's book. So those are the two sides. And the battle is intense. And I'm not here to create any controversy. No, that's not my goal. I'm familiar with all the sides. I've tried to look at it objectively. When I go on the air, one of the first things I say when I get on these talk shows is I'm not a rabid extremist. I'm not on a crusade to burn books or witches. I try to take a very balanced approach. And I'm also a dad, and I'm concerned about kids. That's my motivation. I'm concerned about young people, so I try to diffuse any, you know, extremism that somebody might attribute to me. But anyway, those are the two sides, the two kinds of books that are out there. And since you already know what our website is, it's not hard to know what side I'm on. With a website like avoidharrypotter.com, let me give you my reasons why I believe that this series of books and movies is part of a very dangerous trend in our society. And that's the way I say it. And when I get on these shows, I also clarify that I recognize that not every boy or girl that reads a Harry Potter book is going to rush out and join a coven or become a witch. I know that. But there's a lot of things happening in our world, and I try to look at the big picture. So concerning the whole idea of it being just a story, how many of you have heard that before? It's just a story. Okay, quite a few of you. Now, let's just think that through. It's just a story. Do stories influence people, even if it's just a story? Now, again, remember, we're talking about children's literature. We're talking about a story that is influencing kids. Do stories influence kids? Parents, what do you think? Yes, they do. When Jesus was here 2,000 years ago, what was his primary method of communication? Parables. That's right. Jesus told stories. And why did he do that? The reason is because Jesus knows that stories are very powerful. in their ability to influence a life. It doesn't matter whether it's just a story or whether it's fiction. Fiction communicates ideas, and they can do so in very, very powerful ways. One of my son's favorite lines, one of the things he says over and over again, is he says, "Daddy or Mommy, tell me a story." That, don't you say that a lot? You do, don't you? Yeah, just today we decided, I asked him, I said, "Seth, you want to take a walk down there by the dry riverbed and walk around down there and go exploring?" And he said, "I'd love to, Daddy." So we went down there, we were walking around looking at rocks, and we found a big slug, and I just saw a lot of interesting things. And right down there, he said, "Daddy, tell me a story." And so sometimes I just make up stories, because he asks me to tell him a story so many times, I try to come up with something and then try to bring out some spiritual lesson. We read a lot of stories to him, and they may be Bible stories or they may be other stories, but I am fully convinced that stories are affecting him. He lives the stories many times. He repeats the things that he hears in the stories. So stories are powerful. And I want to, apart from this whole topic, I hope in my meeting tonight to impress all of us. This is one of my points tonight, is to impress every one of us to be careful what kind of stories and what kind of things we are putting into our minds, whatever they are, because stories are powerful. People watch, you know, a lot of programs on television that are just stories, but they surely do influence people's lives. Ask anyone who's into advertising whether ads that are just fiction ads can influence people to go out and buy their product. That's why they spend millions and millions of dollars putting together these ads. They've done studies that if somebody watches a lot of violent programs on television, you know the result of that is that there is a definite studied tendency that kids who watch a lot of violence can become more violent. This has been proven. This has been proven by data, by research. Even if they're just stories. If they're still violent stories. Okay, so that's the first argument. It's just a story. My response is stories are powerful. Number two, my child's reading a book. Well, isn't that good? Well, I clarify this. I was just asked this evening on a show. I was on for about 10 minutes. From about 6:10 to 6:20 before we went down and ate and then came over here. And the man was saying, "Well, you know, what about this? They're reading books. Aren't you in favor of reading books?" And my response was, "Well, I think reading's important. I'm certainly in favor of people reading. But reading is a lot like eating. Are you careful about what you eat? At least we should be. What we eat affects us. And we have what we call a health message, don't we, in our church. And so we know that if you eat too much of the wrong things, if you eat too much fat and cholesterol, it's going to hurt you. You know, you can have a heart attack, right? You can die if you eat a lot of the wrong foods. That's why it's important to eat wholesome food, to eat good food that builds good blood, that's good for your body, because as they say, you know, you are what you eat. What you eat and drink today, you walk and talk tomorrow. Isn't that true? Now, when you think about the subject of reading, I mean, isn't it the same? There's a lot of stuff out there that we can read. Is it just a matter of just reading anything? I mean, is just reading itself a good thing apart from whether we're reading things that are good or bad? Is reading something that's totally neutral? No. It's good to read. We need to develop good habits of reading, but we also need to think about what we're reading. And if we don't want to eat a lot of the wrong food, because that's not going to be good for us, then it's important for us to think about what we read. We need to be reading good things that build up our characters and are good for our minds and our spiritual lives. Reason number three, the lessons. Good lessons. People say, well, hey, there's lessons about friendship and there's lessons about you know, a lot of good things in Harry Potter. And I recognize that there are some good lessons in Harry Potter. I'm not saying there aren't any at all. I do recognize that. But what's happening in the Potter storyline is you have the good guy, Harry, who's practicing witchcraft and who's going to school to develop his witchcraft abilities. And he's using his witchcraft to fight the bad guy. So you've got the good guy using witchcraft to fight the bad guy. Now, kids also look for heroes, don't they? They look for heroes. And they tend to want to be like their heroes, don't they? It's just natural. They want to be like their heroes. And so you've got the hero, the good guy, using witchcraft against the bad guy. I mean, is there a potential problem with that? Now, some people say, well, hey, you know, what's the difference between that and the Wizard of Oz? I get this a lot. Or other, you know, stories like that. And my response is that Mrs. Rowling, the author of the Harry Potter series, has publicly admitted on the Diane Rehm show that 30% of what is in her books is based upon real occultism. 30%. She has a master's degree in mythology from the University of Exeter. She's done a vast amount of research into real occultism. She mentions real people in her storyline, people that were real. There's a man named Aldebert Waffling, another man named Nicholas Flamel. These people are mentioned in the Harry Potter books, and these were real historical occultists. She mentions real places like America and Africa and Great Britain, and the list goes on and on of real places. She refers to real practices like divination. And she uses some occult terms like talisman and ancient ruins. And she uses terms that people that are into real witchcraft are very familiar with. And you don't find those kind of terms in The Wizard of Oz. They're just, you know, not there. There is a degree of occultism in Harry Potter that is unprecedented when it comes to children's literature. There's nothing like it. The biggest concern that I have, and this is what I say in my interviews and in my book and on our website, is that we need to keep in mind that there's two things to consider. On the one side, we have the fantasy world of stories, like Harry Potter, like Sabrina the Teenage Witch, like the Charmed series, like Buffy the Vampire Slayer, whose friend Willow is a witch. You've got the fantasy stories on the one side, but we need to keep in mind that there's another side, and that is the real world of witchcraft that is growing rapidly in our society. And we need to keep both in mind. And the question is one contributing to the other? Is one fueling the other? Are we seeing a trend? Wicca, for those of you that are not familiar, let me just ask you, how many of you have heard of Wicca? Okay, quite a few of you. If I would have asked you that 15 years ago, there would not be very many hands that would go up. I went to North Hollywood High School a number of years ago, and we never heard of Wicca. In 1975, 76, 77. It just wasn't nearly as big. But right now, if you go onto any high school or college campus, people are talking about Wicca. It is recognized by the federal government. It's in the prison system, strong in the prison system. I've been told that there are more Wiccan chapels in prisons than there are Protestant chapels or Christian chapels. It's strong in the military. It's being debated nationally. Maybe you've heard about this one man who was a serviceman, and he was into Wicca, which is a religion that practices witchcraft. That's what Wicca is. And he lost his life in the service, and his wife was doing battle to have, as he was buried in a military cemetery, that she wanted the pentacle on that tombstone to identify his religion. Did you hear about that controversy, any of you? A few of you did. And this was national news. So Wicca is being discussed in a lot of places. I got an email not too long ago. see what the date on here, February 2nd, 2007, from a woman who is a teacher in one of our schools. She said, I'm the assistant home and school leader, and we're planning for a spring week of prayer, and I'm wondering what your ministry offers our school, if anything. It would be great to have some kind of presentation, live or otherwise, that the kids can view and discuss this week, because the area that we live in is full of Wicca. And then she goes on and describes other things, and she says, our children really need to be properly equipped to spot all this and to avoid it. I could tell you a lot of stories. I was speaking at one of our camp meetings in Utah, Nevada, Utah, and I talked about this, and somebody said, come talk to the juniors and just talk to them about Harry Potter and what you're saying. And so I did, and here's a whole group of 12-year-olds. And I asked them, I said, how many of you have heard of Wicca, are familiar with Wicca? And I'd say 95% of their hands went up. Here you've got 12-year-olds that are familiar with this. There are kids under 10 that are going on to witchcraft websites, that are joining covens, that are practicing magic. We're seeing a trend in our society that is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. They call it white magic. They say, well, hey, we're not doing anything bad. This is all white magic. We're not doing black magic. The black magic is like Voldemort. We're doing the white magic like Harry Potter. You know, we're on the side of good, and we are trying to cast good spells to improve your life and your love life and your financial life and your social life, even to improve your grades in school. There's a spell for everything these days. I was on a show called Live from Seattle. It's a radio show, and the host, Thor Tolo, had me on for about an hour. The phone lines lit up. People were calling in, asking questions, giving their opinion, and I still remember to this day, one lady called in. She said, her name was Melissa. She said, here's my story. She said, I'm a mother. My daughter is 14 years old. My daughter went out and read the first Harry Potter book, Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. And then she said, and then my daughter went back to the bookstore, and she started buying books on Wicca. And then she came to me sometime later. She said, we're a Christian home. And she said, my daughter came to me and she said, Mom, I'm scared. I feel like the Holy Spirit has left me. And she said, scary things are going on. What's happening? And then her mother looked at her and said, well, I don't know what's happening. You tell me what's happening. What are you doing? And then the girl confessed that she'd read the first Harry Potter book, and then she was now reading books on witchcraft. And that resulted in a real mother-daughter heart-to-heart talk. And her daughter gave up those books and talked to Jesus about it and said, Lord, help me to do what you want me to do. I have another friend of mine. His name is Glenn, and his daughter works at Barnes & Noble in Nashville, Tennessee. And this daughter of Glenn works there at the cash register. And she said that whenever a Potter book comes out, she's right there, and there's a big long line. And she said a lot of the young people, not all of them, but a lot of them have a Harry Potter book in one hand and a witchcraft book in the other hand. They've got both, and they're buying both books. And many times they're right next to each other on the shelf at Barnes & Noble. We have a study, actually I didn't do it, but it's linked on our website, and let me just share with you quickly what it says. Where is that? And the study is actually found on a WorldNet Daily article, and it is called... Here's the name of the study. It's on avoidharrypotter.com. It's linked there. Study, Potter readers become more occultic. And it says, teenagers who have read Harry Potter books or who have seen the Harry Potter movie are more likely to have experimented with psychic or occult activities than those teens who had not, a recent study found. I shared that with one of the hosts that I was on, and he said, wow. And my response was, wow back. There's another link on our website that is really shocking. And it's a link that takes you to a press release from the founder of a big witchcraft school on the internet. It's really big. And this person came right out in his press release, and this is what he said. He said, J.K. Rowling has brought magic to the forefront of human thought. And she has unwittingly exposed the fastest growing religion in America to hundreds of millions of people. This faith is a faith called Wicca, and its members are witches.